Well, I've already been extra patriotic this morning. I'm going to give you too much information, but if you're in my Sunday school, in John's Sunday school class, I had a red shirt on, but I made the coffee way too hot this morning, way too strong, sweated through that shirt. I've been here a year. I've gotten more comfortable. I ate breakfast this morning, and it's just been a disaster. I don't know. I had to go home and change shirts at 10:50. So it's not a fashion trend, okay? It's just nerves. I don't know. But anyway, this morning, we are going to get all the way into Matthew. Or no, we are not going to get to Matthew. We are in the book of Mark, starting in chapter 4, verse 35. We're going to get all the way through 5:20. And the theme of this section and next week's section is that Jesus reigns victorious over danger, demons, disease, and death. And before we do that, I want to make a couple announcements before we get into the Word. Friday, we went to Restored Church, and we've all seen, if you've been here more than once or you watch online, you've come to know Jared Davis. He's a church planter in Cincinnati. He was at one building. Things happened there that led them to believe that they needed to seek another space. So they've moved to another space. And we went up there Friday night and helped them do some painting. And they're doing a in-house kind of community clothing store. What do you call that? Like a thrift store, like a Goodwill kind of thing. And so we were able, a handful of us were able to go up there Friday. And I think Mark and Elizabeth, you all went back last night, didn't you? Or yesterday. Did somebody go with you? Somebody else? So Mark and Elizabeth went the extra mile. And we appreciate that. But I love Jared and Desiree and their children and the people that we're getting to know there. So if in the future you want to serve at Restored Church in Middletown, hop on the bus and we'll take you up there. We have VBS coming up soon. When is that? Not next week, but the following week. Is that right? So we've got, I'm sure there's still room for more volunteers, isn't there, Mel? Probably. And you've missed the deadline. But if you want to still help, talk to Mel. She'll get you plugged in somewhere. I didn't realize that TJ was going to announce this, and that's okay. But we are going to start, me and Will are going to start a book study called The Titus 10, and it's Foundations for a Godly Man, for Godly Manhood. And we are going to meet in my office. I have room for 10 people. If more than 10 people sign up, we will, like I said, the Lord will provide us more space. We'll figure it out. But really, I'm doing this in hopes that people aren't men that are not plugged into Sunday school yet. If you're in Sunday school and you want to do this, that's fine. It's going to be a 12-week commitment. When the 12 weeks is up, hopefully we've built new relationships among one another. But I'm really doing this to try to get men that are not engaged in Sunday school to commit to this for 12 weeks and just let's see what the Lord has in store for us through through a small group, through men getting together and talking about the things of God and talking about the foundations of the faith. And hopefully within that 12-week period, we will see fruit and we will come up with another plan after that. So, or maybe even somebody that commits to this 12 weeks has an idea to carry on something new and fresh. So that is the plan. That will start not this upcoming Sunday, but the following, July 17th. So, last week, we discussed being a light in dark places and casting gospel seeds among people with hope and confidence that God would produce fruit in people's lives and our own lives. I went back and watched the sermon last week to critique myself, which I kind of stopped doing for a while, but I did it last week, and I said something that annoyed me pretty heavily, and I'm going to bring it up. I said over and over, is this mic feeding back or are y'all good? Good. I said over and over that God is asking us to shine light and cast gospel seeds. Well, that is not true. God is not asking us to do this. He has commanded us to do this. So I just wanted to make that correction. I tend to pick a word and stick with it. And I think last week I said it over and over. God's asking us to shine a light. God's asking us to, it's not really a question. It's a command. He is telling us, He is commanding us that we should go and do these things to shine His light and to cast gospel seeds. The Great Commission doesn't say, would you all please kindly consider going and making disciples if it's not too inconvenient for you? The Great Commission is to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that is not a question, that is a command. So I just wanted to make that correction. So we are to shine the light of Jesus. We are to cast gospel seeds. And these are commands. And for the next 2 weeks, Jesus, in His Word, is going to show us how He reigns victorious over danger, demons, disease, and death. And I am going to cover the danger and the demons today. And next week, Will Cobb and I think a group of the young people are going to cover the disease and death. So Will stepped up and he said, I will preach if you would like me to next week. So everybody come and he can be the new guy. And I'll sit in the front and critique everything he does. I'm just kidding. But I'm glad that he stepped up, and that's what we want to see in this church is people, men, stepping up, men and women, stepping up and doing bold things on account of their belief in Jesus. So that is a great sign of fruit, a great sign of success for us here at Bellevue Baptist, that somebody's stepping up and doing something uncomfortable. So the danger today is a storm that Jesus calms, and the demons today get casted into pigs and thrown into the sea. So before we encounter the Word of God this morning, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word, and thank You for all the lessons and the life that You give us through Your Word. And just allow the message today to sink into our hearts and promote change in us, that we would be renewed every single day that we walk with You. We would be encouraged to do bold things for the gospel, to shine light and cast seeds as You have commanded us to do. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, starting at verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, He said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took Him with them in the boat, just as He was. And other boats were with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But He was in the stern asleep. He, Jesus, was asleep on the cushion. And they woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do You not care that we are perishing?" As He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" After reading this passage this week, I thought of this really theological question, this profound theological question that I wanted to ask y'all this morning. Have you all ever seen those t-shirts on the internet that say, "Jesus took naps, be like Jesus"? You ever seen those? Well, they're real. You can find them on Amazon. I thought about buying one and wearing it today, but I ran out of time, and I should have, because it was black and you wouldn't have seen the sweat. But Jesus did, in fact, take naps, as we see in Mark chapter 4, verse 38. But He was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do You not care that we are perishing?" So there's a storm on the Sea of Galilee. And remember, these disciples that are with Jesus, most of them, many of them, are professional fishermen. So they've spent time on the water. They've spent time in rough waters. This must have been a bad one, okay? So if you were on a plane, if you weren't here last week, you're not going to get any of this. If you were on a plane to California and you leaned over and asked one of these guys, one of these disciples, "What do you do for work?" You know, that's the age-old question that we talked about last week. What do you do for work? They would have answered, "I'm a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee." And the next question you would have asked would be, "Oh, really? Water ever get rough out there, does it?" And as I thought about this week, you know what I did? I ran into Parker's baseball coach at the gym. And the first thing that I asked the man was, "Where do you work?" And I'm like, "Oh, my gosh." Sorry. And I thought, "Oh, no, I did it." And I probably made a strange face. But I've been around this guy a lot. So the more we're around, it's fine to ask those questions. You got to ask these questions to get to know where people are at and what they do and all these things. But I just laughed. I laughed on your all's account when I said that. "What do you do for work?" I'm like, I'm not even following my own teaching. What are we doing? So these disciples were fishermen, most of them. And this storm had them afraid. Jesus was a carpenter, and He was down in the stern taking a nap. We see that in the passage. Jesus took naps. Remember that from the t-shirts. Jesus was not afraid of this storm, But he did have one advantage over the disciples. He was fully God. He was also fully man. If he was not a man, he would not have needed a nap. So he was down in the boat taking a nap. Who plans on taking a nap this day, this Sunday? Who's going to take a nap? Sims, you don't take naps. We got naps. We got a Jay Smiley nap. Morgan's taking a nap. Emily's taking a nap. Dell's even taking a nap. Well, this will be the holiest of naps that you have ever taken, because now you know that Jesus also took naps, okay? So the disciples are on the boat. Let me gather my thoughts. I'm getting silly up here. The disciples are on the boat, and the weather was out of control, and Jesus was on the boat with them. In the book of Mark, and in all the Gospels, all the Gospel accounts, the disciples, they've already seen, if we think about the book of Mark, they've already seen Jesus preach and teach many faith-building sermons and lessons and messages and just teachings. In front of them, Jesus had healed a man with an unclean spirit. He had healed sick people, many sick people. He had cleansed a leper all up until this point. Remember the paralytic, the four friends lower the man through the room. They've seen Jesus forgive a man of his sins and allow him, cause him, heal him, and the man could walk. They've seen all this already. And they're on this boat, and there's waves, and they're scared. And Jesus says, do y'all not have faith in what we're doing here? Do you not believe that I am who I say I am? They did not yet have faith in Jesus. Do you think Jesus knew that this storm was coming? He surely would have, as he knows all things and he controls all things. But it's easy for us today to sit back and look and think, well, if I was with Jesus on the boat, I wouldn't have been nervous, but I'm not so sure that that would be true. So the disciples say to Jesus, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And I wondered myself, what would I have said if I was on that boat? Because I, as a child, you little children, believe it or not, I used to be a little child. And when I was a child, I was terrified of storms. It was probably the thing in my life that I was the most scared of, I would say, because I got caught up in some bad ones. I was at my babysitter's one time and I saw, I don't know if it was a tornado or just a lot of wind, but I saw their garage go whoop, off into the wild blue yonder. And what else happened? We were on our way to French Lick, Indiana one time. I was about 12, and a hailstorm hit our car while we were on the interstate, and it made lots of noises and did a lot of damage in a quick hurry. So I was kind of traumatized by storms. I'm not scared of storms anymore. When you become a man, you give up childish things. But I still would have been a little nervous. I'm not, I spend some time on boats, not in dangerous waters, but I think, okay, if there's waves coming and crashing down into our boat, I would be nervous. So I would probably say to Jesus, get up, Jesus, and please do something about this, because I am a little nervous, just like the disciples were. But as we think about this, God sends storms and trials our way to test our faith. Jesus knew that this storm was coming. If Jesus can calm the storm, it must mean that he can create the storm. The disciples were being tested in this moment. It's almost as if the storm was part of the curriculum that day in Jesus' teaching. The test was the storm, and the answer to the test was faith in Jesus. Jesus can be trusted in the storms of life. Storms are going to enter your life as a believer. Has that become a reality for anybody in the room? I sure would assume so. Do not blame God when these storms come. Jonah got thrown into a storm because of his disobedience. God said, hey, Jonah, I want you to go and do this thing. Jonah said, nope, I'm not going to do that. He gets on a boat. He faces a bad storm. That happened because of his disobedience. These disciples, these disciples were being obedient to God, and they still encountered. They were in the physical presence of Jesus, and they still encountered a storm. So do not get disgruntled when there is a storm in your life. Trust in Jesus through the storm. Now, here is the part of the service that I've been looking forward to. Okay. We're going to have a little bit of childlike fun this morning, and it's going to make some of you all a little bit uncomfortable, and you can just go ahead and get over it. I hope you can handle it. If you're a first-time visitor, I'm sorry. This is going to make some of you all uncomfortable, but Jesus calls us away from our comforts and our fears. You all are going to represent the storm, okay? I don't really even know what that means. I just thought it was fun to write about. So, children, what do you think? We can raise our arms up, and we can make wind sounds. And I welcome all of you all to do that right now. Just we're raising our arms. We don't do this stuff in Baptist churches, do we? We raise our arms up and it's a storm. The storm is really loud, Parker. The storm is loud. What's the storm? What's it do? Yeah. Okay. And Jesus says, "Peace, be still." And the storm stops. Okay. I wanted y'all to just get a little uncomfortable for a minute. Get your blood flowing. Okay. So the water's raging all around and the professional fishermen are nervous, and Jesus exclaims, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And if Jesus can control the wind and the waves and the breath that is in your lungs, don't you reckon he is in control of your circumstances? If Jesus said what he said to the disciples, why do you think you are any different? Have you no faith? So we think about, you think about your own life, think about things that are storms in your own life. We have small anxieties, things that aren't even worth worrying about, yet we still choose to let those things govern our daily lives, just small things. I think Jesus would say, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And then we have bigger things. We have big anxieties, things that should possibly be worried about. I think Jesus would still say, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" What about when you doubt yourself? I do this personally, when you doubt yourself in most everything that you do, Jesus would say, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Maybe you're bogged down in your own sin and you're unwilling to confess it to a brother or sister in Christ by reaching out for help. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Maybe you are nervous to share Jesus with your close family member. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? If Jesus is in control of the wind and the sea and the breath that we breathe, he is in control of these personal storms that we have as well. His grace and mercy are worth more than your worry or fear. I want to say that part again. God is in control of the wind and the sea and the breath that we breathe. His grace and his mercy are worth more than your worry and fear. Instead of worry and fear, try putting on gratitude and joy. So, we all know that life isn't perfect. We all know that things are going to happen. We all know that worrying about it is not going to help it. So why don't we just put on gratitude? God, thank you for this life. It's not going perfectly right now. It's hard. I'm not having that much fun, but you have put me in this storm for your purposes, and I'm willing to get through it joyfully, hopefully. Lord, I'm willing. I'm grateful for this life. I could not be here right now. Lord, I'm here for the test. Just allow me, give me the wisdom to get through this. Whatever you're trying to teach me, give me the endurance to get through it and teach me something that will stick with me until I die. There you go. Gratitude. A lot easier. It makes way more sense to hear that than to hide in your house and worry about it for 10 years. That's going to get you nowhere, okay? So, what are the waves in our life? We are not on the Sea of Galilee in 33 AD. We are in America in 2024. What causes doubt and fear among us? One thing would be that presidential debate we watched the other day. That would be one. But otherwise, money might be a big one. Oh my goodness, I don't have enough money. What am I going to do? Okay, or some of us might say, I have too much money and I did something stupid with it. I'd say finances are one of our biggest waves. Our children would be another, not that our children are a storm, but our expectations of our children. You know, we just finished baseball season. These children of mine finished baseball. And so my hypothetical, I'm not going to use my own children in this example because I don't think that I do this, but I'm going to bring up a hypothetical child named Timmy, Little Timmy. If you come here often, I make up people and talk about them. So Little Timmy, you know, one of my worries about Little Timmy is Little Timmy's fastball good enough? Is Little Timmy, you know, is Little Timmy the best player on his team? Is Little Timmy, am I putting all this pressure on Little Timmy to do all these things? Is Little Timmy the smartest one in his class? Is Little Timmy being bullied at school? Is Little Timmy the bully at school? I think that was my problem. I was the bully. So these are all things. These are all worries. These are all concerns and anxieties and things that we don't need to really even let be a part of our lives. Sin is another one. Sin is a storm in our life. Our own sin, our own depravity, our own brokenness. This is a storm. It can be a storm. It is a storm in our life. We care more about pleasing our flesh rather than pleasing our Creator. So all of these things are waves or storms in our life. And we think about joy and gratitude. So if we're dealing with the storms, the way that a human deals with it is getting anxious and being worried and overthinking. But as I said about gratitude and joy, think about all the things that Jesus has given us. He's given us our physical lives here on earth. He's given us His Word so that we can grow in our knowledge of Him. And most importantly, He's given us salvation. Think about that. He's given us a way to live forever with Him in heaven. If we believe, we'll get to be among Him when we die. Why do we worry about Little Timmy's whatever the thing is? Or why do we worry about, you know, maybe money is the biggest one in your life. Why are you so consumed? If you actually believe that Jesus is who He says He is, but you spend 80% of your time worried about your own finances, we have to worry about these things. No, we don't. Pause. I'm going to rebuke myself before I watch it on the video. I see me on the video. Why are we worrying about, if we believe Jesus is who He says He is, why do we spend so much time worried about all this worldly nonsense? We're going to be here this long. We should live for eternity rather than for our however much time God gives us here. So, a gentle rebuke. Here's another participation. We're going to do a countdown. I need participation here. A gentle rebuke. Let me pause. A gentle rebuke in 3, 2, 1. I'm going to count again and you're all going to count with me. A gentle rebuke in
3, 2, 1.
Stop living in fear of the waves and the things of this world that are ultimately insignificant compared to eternity. Okay? Little Timmy's fastball doesn't mean much compared to his relationship with Jesus. It's important for our children to know and understand that God created them for a purpose and has a plan for their life. It might be the case that God's going to use Little Timmy's fastball for His glory, and that would be great, but that is not for us to decide. Let's not live for the things of this world. Let's use the things that of this world that we have amongst us to glorify God, okay? Your finances might be a burden to you, but they aren't a surprise to God. Discipline yourself to use your finances properly. If you aren't making enough money to survive, get an extra job or sell something or listen to Dave Ramsey, but do not let your finances be your God. God is God, your money is not, okay? And as we think about the sin in our life, our sin is what Jesus was nailed to the cross for. He is and was the payment for our sin. So stop living in the sin that Jesus has already been crucified for. Live for Christ instead. Our greatest problems are within us, not around us. So the waves were, you know, in the disciples' mind, the waves were the problem, when really the problem was their lack of faith. You know, they see all this commotion around them. Parker, you do the little wind and the wind again. Can you hit that one time? Yeah. Yeah, it's obvious that that's a problem. But really, the problems are within us, okay? The storms that we perceive are not the problem. Our problem is our lack of faith that Jesus is in control. That's the biggest problem we're involved with. He is in control of the wind and sea and the breath that we breathe. His grace and His mercy are worth more than our worry and fear. So start living your life in the freedom of Christ. This is what He came and He died for. He didn't die so you could live in fear. He died so that you would live a life of faith in Him. And that sounds like a good place to close, doesn't it? But we're not going to close yet. Jesus reigns victorious over danger. We know that now. The danger is the storm. Jesus also reigns victorious over demons. The story continues, and this is a large chunk of Scripture, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. So bear with me for a moment as we read this. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, so they went from the storm, Jesus calmed the storm, they went, the story continues. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. Now, I didn't plan on this, but how much would it? I was at the fair last night, and I saw a pig sell for $5,000. 2,000 pigs would be worth a lot of money. I'm just kidding. I know not every pig's worth $5,000. Okay, continuing on. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. And he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. So, there is so much going on here in this passage, and I'm going to do my best to break it down in a very simple way, and it won't take very long, and I'm not going to cover it in full depth. But demon possession is not something that we talk about in our culture. Mental illness wins the day. But if we believe in God, we also believe in Satan. And John chapter 10, verse 10 says that Satan comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And if Satan comes to steal and kill and destroy, he's going to do everything that he can to distract us. Now, do I know how to explain demon possession? No, I do not. Have I ever seen someone possessed by a demon? That is up for debate. I've seen some pretty crazy stuff, but do I know for sure that it was a demon? I don't. I don't know how or why Satan chose to attack that man with a legion of demons, but he did. And I'm going to keep this nice and short and sweet. It doesn't matter what Satan tries to do in your life or the lives of the ones that you love. Jesus reigns victorious over anything that Satan attempts to do. This legion of demons begged Jesus to be casted into a local herd of pigs, probably not 4-H pigs, and Jesus obliged. Next thing you know, the pigs ran off a cliff and drowned in the sea. So Jesus can control the wind. He can control the waves, he can control the storms and the demons and Satan. And I think the most important part of this demon possession story is this. The demon possessed man asked Jesus if he could get on the boat with him, and Jesus told the man no. He simply told the man in verse 19, he said, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So, don't you think that Jesus would say the very same thing to us if he was sitting by Ann Rowland right now? Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Would we be satisfied right now if Jesus was in our midst and he told us to go home to our friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for us and how much mercy he's had on us? We should be. He's done, if you're alive and you believe in him, he's done amazing things in your life. If you believe in him, you are proclaiming that you've gone from death to life. That's worth talking about. That's worth going home and telling your friends how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. He's given us life on earth. He's given us life in the United States. Okay? Except for Scout. She's from Canada. He's given us life here on this earth and in the United States. This is an easy country to live in. Very easy. For the most part. Compared to the rest of the world. Very easy. We should have tremendous amounts of gratitude about that. You could go anywhere and simply go up to a stranger and say, you know, you ever think about how grateful you are to live in this country? That you didn't have a choice in it? You didn't get to choose where you were born. God chose. And listen, in this conversation, this person might not even say hello yet. You realize that God placed you in this country, this easy life that he's given you in this country to live, that you have all the luxuries right at your fingertips, and you had no choice in that? I am grateful for God having chose me to live in this country, and I am grateful that he brought me to faith. I could have said all that to somebody without them ever even saying hello to me first. Okay? Jesus has calmed storms in our lives over and over and over. And in many ways, he's casted demons out of some of us. Demons of anxiety and depression. Demons of deceit. Demons of apathy and indifference. We were once sick, but now we are healed. And if Jesus told that demon-possessed man to go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you, he surely would suggest the same for us. And we should feel quite privileged to do so. And last week, I discussed conversation with strangers that we were on the airplane to California. All that's made up. Don't ask somebody. Don't make the emphasis of the conversation work. Make the emphasis of the conversation Jesus, okay? And I was able to have one of these conversations successfully this week. I was in my sauna ministry at the YMCA. You all are getting tired of hearing about that. But I was there, and this fella, this older guy, he's probably 65. No offense to you older 65ers. He was about 65, and something that he said led me to believe that he was a believer, and we started talking. And I asked him where he went to church, and he told me some stories about his life. And he was actually from here, and I didn't get his name, but I'll see him again. He's from Bellevue, and he said, I used to live in Bellevue, and I used to be an absolute train wreck. And he talked about he's been totally sober for 3 years, and we just had a good conversation about how Jesus, he was in tears in the sauna at the YMCA, just a couple of miles up the hill, about how Jesus has changed his life. And we that was a 3-minute conversation that we had. All I did was say, you believe in Jesus, huh? Where do you go to church? And he told me, and we were talking, and these other two boys came in, these teenage boys, they were probably 16 or something. And this man was far bolder than me. He said, you boys know where you're going to heaven, or where you go? You know where you're going when you die? And they both said, ooh, that's intense. And neither one of them said a word, and one of them just pointed up real awkwardly with a straight face like this. And the guy said, what do you mean by that? And the kid said, repent and believe. That's all he could muster. And the guy said, well, he shared the gospel with the boys. He said, you know, Jesus came to this earth to die for your sins, and through your belief in that, you will inherit the kingdom of God and be able to live eternally with him forever in heaven. And the boys still just tight-lipped. Like that. And the guy said, all right, see y'all later. And he walked out. So now it's just us, me and the boys. And I was faced with a decision. I could have just left. But the guy lobbed me up just the easiest. He said, here you go. I'm going to leave you with this. Threw me a little slow pitch softball. And I've got a bat this big in my hands. And I'm like, I could either swing and crush this ball, or I could walk right out that door. It's 150 in here, and it's 70 right outside that door. And I stayed, And I shared my testimony with these boys, and I told them how God took me from death to life and how I used to not care about anything. By the world standards, I cared about stuff. I was doing fine. But in my soul, I didn't care if I died today and was buried in the ground. It didn't make a bit of difference to me. I didn't care. I didn't know any different. And somebody came along and shared the gospel with me, and it made sense. And it changed my life. And it continues to change my life on a daily basis. And I told those boys about it. And they still didn't say much, but I could see through my authentic real life story, I could see them soften just a little bit to where one of them, the one that did this, he was the spokesperson of the group. Didn't say much. I knew they went to Connor. Some of y'all might know these kids. I don't know. I don't know, aside from this one interaction. But as I left out of there, the other one that hadn't said anything up to this point, he said, "It was nice to meet you." And I thought, well, there's something. He spoke. You know, he can speak. That is good. You know, he's not deaf. He heard me at least. So that is good news. And the whole point of that is that Jesus tells this man who is possessed by a demon, who, I mean, he just performed a radical miracle, casted this legion of demons into a bunch of pigs, sent them off into the sea to die. And this man who is now free of this demon says, "Jesus, let me follow you. Please let me get on that boat." And Jesus says, "Nah, just go on home and tell your friends how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you." You know, that's pretty wild to think about. "Yeah, I appreciate you wanting to get on the boat. Just go home and tell your friends what has happened and how your life has changed and how you're renewed and refreshed every single day when you wake up because of the born again status of your soul, that you get to be with Jesus forever." That is worth talking about with strangers at the YMCA or on the airplane to California. Don't go to California. Remember that from last week. We don't need to go there. I'm just kidding. Go wherever you want. Jesus has the power and authority to reign victorious over the wind and the waves and the storms in my life and in your life. He has the power and authority to reign victorious over Satan and his demons. Jesus has already won the war of his kingdom. But he's asked us, it's not a four-letter word, it's a three-letter word, but it's a bad word in my mind. He has commanded us to continue to fight the battle here on earth by telling as many people as possible about the salvation that comes only through the message of the gospel, that Jesus, God created the world and everything in it, and he sent Jesus to this earth to be crucified for the sin in our life so that we would believe that that counted for us. And through our belief in that, Jesus resurrected, and through our belief in this resurrection, we inherit the kingdom of God, and he commands us to live for his kingdom for the days that we have left on this earth so that we get to live for the kingdom forever and ever. If you're not a part of that, you're here. This is a place where we're doing it. We're following Jesus to the best of our ability. We mess up sometimes. I've seen some of y'all mess up already. I've messed up already. I mess up all the time. Okay? But think about the Bible. People did things wrong. Stay faithfully obedient even after you don't do everything right, because you're not going to do everything right, okay? Jesus came and died for us. Through our belief in that, we get to inherit the kingdom. But also, after our belief in that, we are to live on this earth in ways that are glorifying to God. We need to go and tell people about all the good that God has done in our lives and all the mercy that he has shown us. We deserve death, and he's given us new life. So if you're here today and you're not following Jesus and you're interested in following Jesus, I pray that you would just come forward, get started, get on the boat, get in with Jesus, get in with this church, and we can do this kingdom life together. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? That's what Jesus said to the disciples, and it's the same for us today. Why are you afraid? He's given us life. He's commanded us to live it for Him. Why do we still lack faith? If you're lost and you don't understand the things of God, but you want to, why are you so afraid? Do you have faith? Can you have faith? Have a conversation with somebody here today before you leave. Pray that God would reveal His grace and mercy to you in a new way that is impactful to change your life, because He changed mine. And I know it's changed some of the people in here for eternity. So you are invited to that. It's a free gift of God to open up. So it's available to you. Would you open it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the life change that You give us through belief in Your death, burial, and resurrection, and our belief in Your goodness and Your grace and mercy, that You are the whole entire point of life on this earth. Aside from You, there's nothing good. We can try and try and try, and we build these little kingdoms for ourselves, and we see them fall all the time. There's storms all around us, and most of them are self-created. And Lord, I just pray that You would open people's eyes this morning to realize that You are good and You are the only thing worth living for. And I pray that if there are people here that are following You and they're slipping and they're stumbling, that they would be encouraged this morning that they're not a failure. They're on the right path. They have faith in You. And they're not denying You. They're just struggling a little bit. I pray that they're encouraged this morning. And I pray that as we leave here today, we all love each other well and get to know each other better and come back here encouraged next week or Wednesday night or at VBS as a volunteer. And Lord, I pray that during VBS, we're going to encounter a lot of new faces. Every face here is new to me. But I know we're going to encounter people that we haven't seen in a while or where we don't know that well. Just give us the boldness to share these things that You tell us to share that You have done amazing things for us and You have changed our lives if You have. So, Lord, I just pray that You give us boldness and courage and faith. Just give us overwhelming amounts of faith that You are good. And I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.